Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You sort of knew some of these decisions were going to be tough this month moving on to some guys. How difficult was it going from loyalty to making business calls?
Yeah, that's the hard part of this job. I mean, there's a lot of hard things, but it doesn't get harder than saying goodbye to some of the names. You know, I don't have to go through them all. Poirier, Mitch Morse, Tre'Davious White, so many of those guys that have meant so much to what Sean and I have built here all the way back to 2017. And big part of all the success that we've had, the 6 out of 7 playoff years or 4 straight divisions, you don't do it without guys like that. And obviously some of them wear a C on their chest, so it'll be up to the next guys that we either, you know, that we have on board now or the guys that we've added to fill some of those roles.
What went into those decisions in terms of not pushing money forward, doing the extensions and whatnot?
Well, you know, I've always talked about not trying to just load everything to walk into 1 year and we just got a mess that we got to deal with. Yes, this had its own, we were glad that the cap got to where it did, but we were still in the high 40s over that we needed to clear just to get cap compliant into the league year, much less be able to spend. And we still have to hold money for our draft picks, replacement costs, practice squad, all those things. So even as you see where our cap is, we still have to, you know, to hold some money back.
Brandon, with the decision with Mitch specifically, the confidence in Connor to take over that center spot, did that go into it? Or, you know, moving on from him with 1 year left, I guess, what was kind of were the conversations about Connor? How did you make that specific choice?
Yeah, I mean, it was hard. You start with you're putting the puzzle together. You're waiting to see how much money where the cap's going to be and how much money we have to take off. And unfortunately, you have to make some tough decisions. You don't ever want to – I mean, all Mitch has been to our team and up front, and he's been a steward for – a stalwart for Josh, back there. The center is so important for so many reasons, not only up front in the communication, but for the quarterback. And so you don't take that decision lightly, and it doesn't mean – It's the perfect decision, but when we did sign Connor last year, we did say, hey, this guy is a guy that could be a future center for us when his number's called. We didn't know at that time that we'd call it this time, but Connor's welcomed the opportunity, and he'll get his chance once we start lining up.
Brandon, most people believed you guys would get a third-round comp pick for Tremaine. It wound up a fourth-rounder. Did that surprise you, and did that alter anything that you planned for this offseason?
It did surprise me. You know, I think us in San Francisco, we got a raw deal. It's just they're counting. I don't want to give a full thing, but we had separate Zooms with the league trying to go through how it was calculated because – by even their accounts, as we were checking with them through the year, we clearly had a third rounder. And so it's with all the conversions, the voids and things like that, numbers, that are not really numbers. Like, for example, San Fran gave an example of one of their players that was really around a 17 APY was being counted as a 26 APY by the way they did the void with higher cap numbers at the end. And there's been so many of those in recent years due to COVID and where the cap was that it fell into it, and we missed, I'm talking like this, and it was a major blow because we had planned for that, and I know San Fran felt the same way.
Did you do anything after that with, like, an appeal of some sort? Like, how does that work?
We did our best, and they said no deal.
Losers were after the news then. Sorry, just to clarify, when you were talking about the Zooms with the league, was that after the news of?
Yes, okay. That was after the news. When it came out, we found out when all you guys found out. We got it on a Friday and quickly circled up with them. And I know Cincinnati got theirs resolved for a separate issue, but definitely conferred with how San Fran was calculated and how we were calculating. We both thought that we should have been awarded a third. And we set up a together Zoom that next Monday, and unfortunately it was denied.
Brandon, the Eagles went a little out of the box with what they paid Saquon Barkley. Your philosophy and what we see now in the NFL where teams don't pay running backs that kind of money, what is your philosophy, and does it surprise you when a running back gets that kind of money?
Well, I mean, every player is its own entity, so I don't fall too much into the running back per se, because you look at guys, let's just take a different name. You look at what Christian McCaffrey has brought, to the 49ers, that offense. Guys that, I think where you would be surprised, Howard, is the old school running back that's a two-down player, but now these guys are being used as weapons. And with more split safeties, people trying to prevent the long passes, I think you even saw us try to do it a little more. We tried to run a little bit more as the season progressed last year just to see if people play, single high. So I think it's you just look at it as another weapon for their team. And you saw it with several teams. Green Bay, paid Aaron Jones and some others. So I look at it as, is this going to be a weapon for your team, and how are you going to utilize it to help your offense?
Not something you would do.
It's not something I'm saying that I wouldn't do at all. I think each one is its own. It's basically where do I feel the holes are on our team? And Saquon's a heck of a player. So I wouldn't question that move by Howie and what Philly did at all. Yeah. Yeah, we thought Mitch really, we've had some different cast of characters back there since Josh, established himself as our guy. And you're right, we have limited resources there. But of all the guys that we had here, we really thought Mitch fit the best of what we were what we're trying to do should Josh go down. He's a really good athlete. And when he was here, had his number been called, had Josh gone down, we felt really confident. I think if you looked at what he did in his preseason time, it probably stood out amongst any of the other guys we've had. And so to get him at that number, we thought it was worth the risk for what he did the year he was here. But who knows? We'll see this year if he does have to play. Was that the right decision? No, we talked after the season, but at that time he was undecided what he was going to do. He was going to think about it and still talk about it. And so I don't know if he's made a 100% decision either way. Talking to his agent a little bit, I've talked to his agent since I've talked to Micah. I don't think he's shut the door yet. I think it's still open, and we definitely wouldn't shut the door, to ever bringing a Micah Hyde back if he decides to play. I don't know truly. If he's 100% one way or the other.
So even with the moves that you've made, you think that if he was interested in playing, that there could possibly be a spot for him?
Yeah, I wouldn't close the door. I mean, obviously it would have to fit within the cap. And, maybe he says, hey, I'll play for Buffalo or another team, but I'm not playing for less price or whatever. So it would still have to fit within, the business model that we can, make it work.
Brandon, can you break down the Samuel signing? Did any of that go back to you? Part of
Yeah, Curtis is one of those guys, a unique player. When he came out, I remember spending time with him and scouting him at Ohio State. Guy that spent half the time in the running back room at Ohio State and half in the receiver room. And I was, you know, I remember questioning him how he was able to do that. And he's obviously smart to be able to do that. And so that was the last draft I was in Carolina, and we took McCaffrey one and him two, and we were just thinking, like, man, you get in the huddle with those guys, you really could line one up in the backfield and one, you know, as a receiver, and, you know, you're just giving defenses, you know, different problems to deal with. And so what gave me confidence to, you know, bring him here was talking to Joe Brady, and he had his best year with Joe, and Joe saw what he could do and really, you know, play to his strengths. And so we see him as a guy that, yes, can be in the backfield, could line up at receiver, gadgets. He could be a returner for us. He can stretch the field vertically, just not a traditional just line up out wide receiver or line up in the slot. We think he'll play outside, inside, backfield, just, you know, give Joe a lot of, you know, versatile ways to use him, really.
Hey, Brandon, with the players you've added and also re-signed, do you feel comfortable that you haven't painted yourself into a corner at number 28, that you have to pick something?
Yeah, I feel like, you know, as hard as we knew it would be with the cap, I feel like we're in a pretty good spot. Do we have some holes? Yes. But I don't feel like, man, we've got something gaping that we've got to get round one or round two per se. But yeah, we'll continue. You know, free agency's not over. We're still trying to fill some odds and ends. Obviously, we've used a good portion of what we created cap-wise, so I wouldn't expect anything big.
How do you view safety right now with re-signing Taylor and making a couple? How do you view kind of that position room right now?
Yeah, I mean, getting Taylor back, I thought he did a great job in his role last year and showed that he fit our DNA and could play in this defense. And adding a Mike Edwards, who, you know, we thought was very good a year ago, and it was a really good move by Kansas City to get him. And as soon as I think Cook went down for them, he fills in and did a really nice job and was a big part of their Super Bowl run. And so another guy that's tough, instinctive, smart, fits, you know, some of those top qualities that we look for in a safety, very similar to Taylor. So those two guys, plus bringing DeMar back, and, you know, this will be a year removed from all what we know DeMar went through, so he'll be in the mix. And Cam Lewis, you know, we really feel is a versatile piece, can obviously play nickel, play safety for us and special teams. So right now we have those guys, and, you know, like I said, we wouldn't close the door if there's another opportunity to add someone free agency or the draft.
Have you decided, and if you would you care to say if you've decided on Greg Rousseau's fifth-year option yet?
We have not discussed it a lot, just trying to get through this, but I would, you know, I don't see any reason why we wouldn't do it.
Can you ballpark your cap space right now? Do you know where you're at about roughly?
Well, it depends on, you know, we're in single digits, but we do know June 1st we're going to get the money back for Trey, which will help. I'm going to say we're probably 6-7-ish. You know, we just agreed with Austin Johnson. There's a couple of ways we can do that. We haven't finalized the deal, whether we add a void or a couple of years. So that could, you know, that could move it, you know, $500,000 to $1 million, depending on how we do that.
How much did the compensatory formula impact your thinking again this year in free agency? We know last year it certainly did based on the way that you structured some of the deals. Is that the case again?
Yeah, we definitely tried to. You know, there's a few of them that it's going to depend on their play time and whether they get honors or things like that. They're, you know, we weren't able to get as many guys at that 177 number that this year was 179 that we got a year ago. Some of them are going to be right on the cusp. And again, it may depend on how the league counts these this year. I think they're going to, back to what I was saying earlier, I think they're going to alter. It's not going to help us or San Francisco, but I think they're going to alter how they're doing that going forward, which could matter. You know, does a guy that we paid 2.5 or 2.7, do they fall in the formula or not? I still think we'll at least get one next year, depending on how that falls, maybe two.
Hey, Brandon, during the CEO search, during your interactions with Pete, what stood out about him being a good fit with the Bears?
Yeah, I got to know Pete a couple years ago just through the Giant connections, and it always – heard his name through, you know, being a former Buffalo Bill. And Pete's a pro, hard worker, is going to do a great job. And And I knew who Pete was a little bit when I was with the Panthers in Carolina. He was with the Hornets, and he was part of that name change that they did from the Bobcats back to the original Charlotte Hornets. And, you know, they never had what I would say it was a championship team that you thought was going to win it. But when you went over there to watch those games, it was a great product, and I think he'll be able to add something not only to us, but I know the Sabres are excited to have him too.
I know you talked about this already with the guys that you had to say goodbye to, but it felt like Trey was kind of like in a different bucket than maybe Jordan and Mitchell because they were a little bit older. You know, how far you guys go back with Trey drafting him being for this first draft pick? Mm-hmm. Was that conversation tough when you called him up?
Yeah, I mean, Trey and I talked about it, honestly, even before I went to the Senior Bowl. You know, Trey's a guy that wants clarity. And, you know, I just said, listen, we're trying to get clarity on the cap and where it is and all the moves we're going to have to do. But as soon as I can give you an answer, we'll do that. And so I was very transparent with him and his agent throughout the process of, you know, whether that was, you know, a pay reduction or a release or something, if we're going to have to alter it. And it's Trey's such a pro and such a great dude, and is you feel bad for him because we all know the player that Trey was, first off prior to the ACL, and then we were hoping last year he was going to really get back into that number one corner, and pops that Achilles versus Miami, which, you know, was super crushing, and we've all been crushed for him. But he's attacked it again, and I told him, I said, just because this move is now doesn't mean it doesn't work out for us to get you back in Buffalo. It's just right now we've, you know, do the rules. We've got to get, you know, under the cap before, you know, March, whatever.
So did you consider a pay reduction, or was he open to it even?
We talked about everything, but I'm going to keep that, you know, to ourselves. We didn't I'm not going to get into that part. I'm just saying internally with all these guys we talked about, you know, is this a guy we just have to release? Is this a guy that we would try to work on a pay restructure or reduction? You know, you don't take any decision lightly. Definitely guys that have been here, you know, as long as Trey, Poyer, Mitch, all those guys.
In terms of getting under the cap, though, why make him a post-June 1st release then?
Yeah, just it was a way for us to, you know, if we did it now, it was going to be, I believe, around $6 million, Elena. If we do it, we do have to wait for it, but if we do it post June 1, we can get around 10. And again, knowing that we want to, you know, we still want to go after this thing, but we've also got to save money to pay these draft picks, replacement costs. You know, practice squad's like $3-3.5 million now. People don't realize that comes off your cap. So just trying to make sure we had that savings forced. It's kind of a forced savings that you get in June.
Yeah. So versus getting it sooner, it made more sense to get the more later.
Exactly.
Do the new possible kickoff rules, A, did it impact any decision you made on Saran Neal? And B, would it make any decisions impactful for you as far as roster construction going forward?
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, we just got out of meetings talking about it, and, you know, there still could be some tweaks to it. It could be something that's trialed in the preseason but not actually done in the season. There's a lot of things that are going to come up over the next couple of days to whether it passes. So we did not go far into it because – You know, when something like this that's so drastically different, there could be some one-offs to it or some hybrid models to what they've proposed. So we'll adjust, though, once we see what's actually, passed or not. And maybe nothing passes this year and it's the same kickoff model as before.
And then just losing a guy like Saran on special teams, you know, how do you guys replace a guy like that?
Yeah, Saran's been awesome. He was part of that first draft that I was here in 2018, and we were able to pay him in free agency and keep him here. Again, not a decision you take lightly, and you never love when they end up at the division opponent too, where you're going to play him twice. But wish him nothing but the best, except twice a year.
Brandon, question for the Chiefs seats back here. Defensive tackle, we saw you tied to a couple names. Obviously, you just told us about Austin and you brought back Daquan. Was this that you just needed bodies, or was this an area that you need to be better at?
Well, first off, you do need bodies to play, but we didn't, you know, there's guys you could get to fill for a minimum role. No, we're looking, you know, you guys know how we've always built this up front. We want to be strong on both sides of the ball, and it doesn't mean we're done. Like, we're going to always look there, and if we're going to stretch ourselves financially, that's a spot I'm always going to do. I mean, we made the move for Vaughn a couple years ago. Yes, we stretched ourselves, but I'm not going to ever hold back if it's something that I think can get us over the top.
What, speaking of Vaughn, what were those conversations like with restructuring his contract some, and what went into that decision?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Vaughn did something I don't know that many people would have done, because he took less than what he was guaranteed. And say what you want, whether you thought he's performed to the level or not, he definitely did prior to the injury. Last year was tough. We saw that with Tre'Davious trying to work back from his injury. I do think Vaughn will look more like the Vaughn we know coming into this year. But he put the team first. He wants to win. He said that, you know, since the day he got here. And to basically cut it in half and go below his guarantee, I don't know if I've seen a player do that, especially someone with that's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer like him. So much respect for him.
Was that something you brought to him, or like how did that conversation kind of?
Yeah, it's one of those things we preliminary discussed with his agent, but ultimately Vaughn and I got on a call and we talked through it. And again, it was a great conversation, very typical of Vaughn. Just, you know, yes, he's going to look out for his best interest, but, you know, being I just want to win and I'm here to help the team.
Was he more involved than a player usually is in those discussions, or was it kind of standard?
You know, I know he was going back and forth with his agent, and once we got it to a spot that we thought we were both trending in the right direction of where it would end up, he and I had a call to make sure he and I were on the same page. I don't know if it's more or less, there have been pay cuts before where, you know, it was only through the agent that we worked and then the player got it signed. But this was one of those ones, the relationship that we have with Vaughn, that I just thought was very important at some point through this conversation for he and I to have that dialogue.
When we spoke to you at the Combine, you'd said that there had been nothing new on the situation with him off the field. Has there been anything new since?
No. Okay. No.
I know you can't visualize yourself prior to free agency started, but was there an area that you knew you needed to address once free agency opened up, and do you feel like you've done that?
Yeah, I mean, D-tackle was the biggest hole. You know, you mentioned that earlier, Matt. You know, we started with Ed and Ely Anku. So, you know, we rotate them. You know, we kept five last year. So, starting with that, we knew was a major hole. And you know, that's a highly paid position, a highly sought-after position. So, knowing our cap situation, it's not like we could be paying on the high end, but you know, we were involved in a lot of those, and ultimately we're happy with where we're at and the guys we've ended up starting with getting Daquan back.
Who do you think Austin brings to your team? Because obviously Bills fans are very familiar with Daquan, but yeah. Austin was another guy that I know was pretty highly sought after.
Yeah, I think Austin coincidentally played at Penn State and went to the Titans, so he and Daquan, and I know Daquan broke the news whenever that was yesterday, his next life. But I think they have a very similar skill set. They're both going to start as a one tech. I think even Daquan, you've seen in our system, improve his pass rush. And we do think Austin can kind of follow that same trajectory. Brought him in for a visit. Great young man. You know, he talked about the importance of a winning culture, winning team. And obviously Daquan was helping sell, you know, our situation. So, yeah, we're excited to get him and hopefully get that signed, you know, at some point this week.
Hey, Brandon, what's the toughest part when you look at receivers in the draft of evaluating if they're a fit for what you guys run?
Yeah, I mean, you got to be smart, you know, and you want to be versatile. We start there. You know, they don't all have to be, but that's how we're going to value them. The more you can do, we talked about a Curtis Samuel and the value that he brings, the more ways that we can line you up in different spots, whether you're inside, outside. Are you smart enough to play more than one spot? Those are high value things that, you know, in this offense that we think are very important. And then obviously you got to be able to catch the ball and rack, you know, red zone. You know, what is your skill set? Does it offset what we already have, you know, with the guys that we have? You know, given Joe Brady, just like we talked about drafting Kincaid last year, like giving Joe Brady another weapon, another piece. Yes, we had Dawson Knox, but you know, Kincaid does certain things that maybe Dawson doesn't do, and there's some things that Dawson does that maybe Kincaid doesn't do. So just always looking for how we can attack defenses and giving Joe as many options as possible.
You were able to keep AJ and Daquan, but not Gabe. Can you kind of take us through that and how all that played out for you, unfortunately, seeing him go?
Yeah, I mean, it's very similar to, you know, you're talking about losing some of the guys that we had to release. You in some ways you feel like you had to release him, and No different than Tremaine a year ago. The business is the business, and you can't retain them all. But, man, Gabe Davis, for what he did, you know, as a fourth-round pick to come in here and play so much early, even though he didn't start, he was made big plays. You go back to that Indianapolis game. If he didn't make some of those plays, and I'm talking about the 2020 COVID playoffs, if he didn't make some of those sideline plays before the half, I don't know if we win that game. And obviously the Kansas City game everyone remembers in the playoffs. But the guy made a lot of great plays for us. And, you know, he's one of those guys we'll continue to follow and root for other than when we're playing him, and you never know. But just for him to earn by his fourth year the C on his chest tells you what we thought about him.
With losing some of the veterans in the secondary, what does it mean for Taren? Just to, he said he was going to be more involved. Like, yeah. What do you see kind of his path from here now?
Yeah, glad that we were able to extend him and what he's brought to this, you know, to this defense and this team, you know, the nickel position. He's, you know, he was rewarded, or, you know, with the honor this year, a second team all pro, and we feel like it's been warranted even before now, but it was nice to see him get that, and glad we were able to work out the deal to get him extended, knowing some of the names that may not be in our secondary next year. And that's one of the things when he came in and signed, we talked about, hey, now's your time. Like, go earn that C on your chest now that some of the other veterans that you learned from, you know, are no longer here. And I think he's up for the challenge and excited for that opportunity.
Any pro days for you?
Yeah, I've been to a couple so far, but still got, we'll see what happens this week. We do some privates too. I may hit some of those.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.